He's built me up now. What do I do? Pastor Tocky has taken most of the stuff that I'd already written down. He's already spoke it, so I'll just go and sit down there and we'll just finish with a bit of worship. But it's good to be back behind the pulpit. It's been 8 months away for various reasons. So for various reasons I haven't spoken this year. So you guys are the guinea pigs for 2019 for me. But it's good to share together with KICC and with KBC, God's Word. And I just hope this evening that as you receive God's Word, that it will enter into your heart and to your mind and it will challenge you, that it would lift you up, that it would build you up, and that we will go home tonight better for knowing God's Word. We're going to read from Psalm 127. Hopefully that's what you got on there, Adele. It is good. And I'm going to read the five verses of Psalm 127. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessing that it is. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that we trust in your word, Lord. Whether it be Old Testament or New Testament, we thank you that it is the written word of God. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, that you would build us up this evening. Lord, that we would be edified, that we would be lifted up. And Lord, that we would just, Lord, find it nourishing to the soul, Lord. So we just bless your word and bless you in the wondrous name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I don't know whether it's easier to wear these or not. So a lot of thought goes into our preaching here at KBC. Some people think, and quite rightly so, that it's actually written down on the back of a serviette at Costa Coffees down the town. But it's not. That's not the case. Stuart is up until the early hours of the morning every 3 months scratching his head. And after lots of prayer, lots of coffee and a tray of donuts, a plan is written. Then God gets a hold of that plan and does something quite wonderful. And it always seems that week by week, there's a blessing. There's a blessing that somebody speaks about within the church. You might not get a blessing from what I'm saying tonight, but hopefully you will. I don't know. You might have to come and tell me afterwards. But there's always a blessing. The word that is spoken from this pulpit, whether it be in the morning or the evening, is always a blessing to somebody. It touches people's hearts. It touches people's lives. I know it's done to me. Over the last 8 months, it's touched me in so many different ways. But God is good. God blesses us when we listen to God's word. God has got a hold of this evening. He takes that plan and he changes it around and he creates something wonderful. Now, it's not by any coincidence that tonight we speak or we read this evening about God building his house. People have just been through the waters of baptism. God wants to build people up. And I believe that as they go through the waters of baptism, God will build them up. It will change the people that they were before they went through the waters of baptism to different people. Not they're any different from who we are, but we're one in Christ. But they'll be different because they'll be changed from an old life into a new life. Any speaker can manipulate a piece of scripture to suit his agenda, but I believe God's word has been ordained for such a night as this. Boomy, Ashley and Steph, I sense that God, as in the first verse of scripture, wants to build you up into something sure and something steadfast in you tonight. Let us pray as individuals over the coming weeks and months. There'll be something quite fantastic, something unique, something they hadn't quite expected, that your lives will be changed. You'll be doing things that you never thought you would do in God. Stuart last week spoke from Psalm 40 about whether either wallowing in our own self-pity, self-importance or sinfulness, or eagerly awaiting on God, seeking him to build something out of the ordinary as we look up. And it's building us up as we look up. That tonight there is an outward show to the world that you are one in Christ. Now, Toki, I hope that you have said to your people this evening, I heard you say it, that in part of the stuff that you said about bringing as many people as you can to Kingswood Baptist Church on the 7th of July PM to come and share in the baptism. Because what this is those that have been for through the waters of baptism. It's an outward show of your love to Christ. It's a huge statement for you to make tonight. I love Jesus. And you guys love Jesus. I know you've already said that in your statement of faith. And it's difficult to say that in front of many people. In a church full of believers. Because you're going to get asked lots of questions by young and old once you've been through the waters of baptism. Super spiritual questions you're going to be asked. Like, was the water cold? And did you bring your towel? I'm hoping all you did. But I'm hoping that you're going to ask questions of yourself as you go on from tonight. As God continues to build you up and to reinforce into your life as he builds again. Won't you ask that question, where am I standing with God? Am I allowing God to build me up? Am I allowing him into my life to lift me? To lift me spiritually? To lift me in God's word, in his prayer? Are you allowing God to do that? If you were brave enough, you could have opened your eyes on the way back up out of the water and seen the light above. And as you broke the surface into a new chapter, a new beginning, a new start in life, buried with Christ and raised to him into new life. Rejoice in this tonight, and rightly rejoice. This is a new life that you live in Christ, always with him and in him and never out of him. For tonight, the meaning in Psalm is not of a structure such as bricks and mortar or mud or straw. It's about an individual. It's about individuals being built up in God. Unless the Lord builds this house, the builder's labour is in vain. In building terms, you may have started out as a two-bed semi, but God never stops building. He's going to build an extension right across the back and a utility room and a downstairs loom. Then a conservatory is going to be added, and it's nothing compared to the granny annex at the bottom of the garden and the double garage. Here's the foundation you are resting on. Let him build your life brick by brick by brick. Let him build you up. But let me give you four cautionary things to consider as God continues to build. Number one, the building will take longer than expected. Colossians 1 tells us, so that you might live in a manner worthy of the Lord and be fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit while doing all kinds of good things and growing in the full knowledge of God. You are being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so you might patiently endure everything with joy. Endure everything with joy. Endure everything. Because it's going to take longer than expected. In 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Building is not without its snags. And it's going to add more time to the project. Where it says in 2 Timothy, I have fought the good fight. It's not an amateur boxing, which is just three rounds. It's a 12-rounder with fighting with AJ. And it's going to be a bloody nose at the end. I finished the race. It's not a 9.8 second 100 meter dash, but it's a full 26 miles and 385 yards. If you don't know what that is, that's a marathon. I've never run one. I'm never likely to either. It's a marathon with cramps at the end of it for life. But God builds in you, he will keep the faith. God has got stuff for you to do. You know what kids are like when you go on a journey? Are we there yet? You can't be saying that to God. Because when you'll get there, you'll be in glory with him. But he's got plenty for you to do. And it's going to be down here with God. Amen. Working with you. There's plenty for you to do. So no, it cannot all be done now. God wants you to patiently endure everything with joy as he continues to build in you. There is a lifetime of building ahead of you. And there's going to be dust. There is always dust. Number two, he was always going to cost more. Luke 9:23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and daily follow me. Now King Asa of the Old Testament in Chronicles and Kings began by following God. God built him security, fame and victory. But Asa allowed vanity, thought of his own greater importance, to enter into his life. And he stopped trusting in God. and relying on himself and thought that his successes were of his own doing. He became ill and relied on others and relied on others around him to heal him, but never trusting in God. Well, he did trust in God, but at the end he didn't. The danger for some is wanting the glory of success that your life has become for yourself. That success your life has become is nothing down to you, it's down to God. God has touched your life and changed it around. Over the years that I've been a Christian, which is 30-odd years now, I know I don't look it, but yeah, it's been 30-odd years, I've seen individuals, I've seen whole families come to know the Lord in a real and special way, and then start to rely on their own self-importance and relying on themselves. And I've seen families drift away from God, and how sad that it is. Me, myself, I'm not saying that I've got everything right. I haven't got everything right. If I've got everything right, I might be in glory now, but I haven't got it right yet. But I know God is walking alongside me, and I can put my trust in him day by day. Day by day, he touches me. I'm still a work in progress. I work on a production line at the tractor plant, so I know what it's like to be work in progress. It comes down the line every day, and I'm part of that line. I'm still a work in progress. I'll never be the full man that I need to be until I get to glory. We pray that's a while away yet, but we don't know. To be able to detach ourselves from the standards of this world, we need to study the scriptures regularly to learn wisdom and the principles of God's kingdom. Our focus has to be completely on Jesus. Number three, it's always messier. Sometimes for the building to become bigger, some demolition needs to take place. We think of King David. We think shepherd, poet, giant killer, ancestor of Jesus. In short, one of the greatest men in Old Testament. But alongside that list, stands another. A betrayer, a liar, an adulterer, a murderer. The first list gives us qualities we might like to have, and the second, the qualities that might be true of any of us. But David was always quick to ask forgiveness from God. 1 Kings 11 tells us of David's son, Solomon. He turned his back on God and loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, the Moabite, the Ammonite, Edomite, and Sidonian and Hittite women. He goes on to tell us that he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away. I'm always on my toes trying to remember the birthday of one wife. With 700 wives, I'm going to be in the doghouse twice a day, every day of the year. I'm never going to remember. As with all building projects, there's going to be more dust. Number four, it always takes more patience and determination. Psalm 86:15 tells us, "But you, O Lord, are God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. His love for you is far greater than you can ever imagine. He will never let you fall." Excuse me, a bit of a sore throat. He will never let you fall. No matter what you do, he'll never let you fall. Well, you may end up on the floor, but he'll pick you straight back up again. He'll pick you straight back up and he'll say, "Come and walk with me again. Come and walk with me again." But the art is never to fall down on the same thing again. But if you do, he'll pick you up again and say, "Come and walk with me." Because God is a loving God. He just wants us to worship him, to love him, and to walk alongside him. Corinthians 10:13-14 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." So Bumi, Ashley and Steph, it's not all bad. You see, our lives have become a success. Though you may have still some fears before you were baptized, you may have had a fear of water. Hopefully, you can tick that one off the box tonight. You may now become a success in God's eyes. From the person you were before you gave your life to him and were baptized to the person you are before God tonight, in this hall tonight. You are a success. You are a success. You're a success in God. The success is not yours, it's his. Because he's come into your life. You're never going to look up to him. God is always going to come and touch you in your heart. Come and quicken your spirit. You are his success. You are success, another person saved from the clutches of hell and now safely held in the Redeemer's arms. That is success, but it's not yours. It is his. It is always God's success. But it's down to you to look after God's success. He calls you to work with him, to regulate, to make sure his success remains and doesn't begin to fail. Unless the Lord builds a house, the builder's labour is in vain. A warning to the wider church. That responsibility, or some of that responsibility, lies with you. To help those who have been through the waters of baptism, to make sure that they walk that straight and narrow path, so they don't fall off it. You can lessen the burden. If you think they're going to fall, you can go and catch them before they do. In verse 1 of our scripture tonight, it mentions about building a house. A parable in Matthew 7 tells us, where did God tell us not to build the house? On the sand. And where did God tell us to build it? Upon the rock. And that's good. That's a good start. And let the success that God has started to rest on firm foundations. Let God build it. Let God build that house in you. Let you be a part of that building of the wider church, of the family of believers. You can be that single brick, but God is building in you a house. But let God build that. Put your trust in him this evening. Allow him to build it. I'd rather let somebody else have the success of building the house and then be a part of it as I live in it. That doesn't mean I shrug I've forgotten the word now. It'll come to me later on, about 3 o'clock in the morning. My responsibilities, that's the word. Don't shrug my responsibility as part of the fellowship. Because I have a part to play as much as everybody else within this fellowship into the building of God's house. But he's going to build it. But we're a part of it. Individuals who can bring their different gifts. And God will use them. Nearly finished. Matthew 16:18 says, I also say to you that you, Peter, are upon this rock. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. One more piece of scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. Let God continue to build that house that is yours and that you are going to be a part of. Let him foster the success your life has become, so you may give him the glory. Let me pray.